Well, I got my first email report from the opening of the General Assembly in Detroit. And every day, one of the representatives from Presbytery is going to send a report and to let us know what's going on, as if we can't wait. And the layman who wrote this, he said, "We gathered, and you know the Spirit's working, but there are divisions in the Presbyterian Church." Oh, yeah. That's nothing new. It really is nothing new. Divisions, all right. So they had pictures then. He put pictures on Facebook, and I looked, and there's a big sea of heads all over the place, and you're wondering, where are the divisions? They're there. The divisions are there. And he's letting us know that the Spirit's working, but there are divisions. The good thing about it is that we know that there are already labels being made there at the General Assembly. You're going to be on a part of a group that's very conservative. Then you're going to be with a group that's very liberal. Then you're going to be with some people in the middle who may be moderate, and they may be over there, or they may be over there. Then you've got some people who are way in the back row, no offense, who have no opinion whatsoever, and they're there taking up space. I didn't say that. Because they'll reach a decision, and they'll vote according to that group, and that group, and that group. That's the way it always goes. And then at the end of the week, and everybody's all discombobulated, they'll sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." And the General Assembly will conclude, and the Presbyterian Church will continue doing what it's doing. And there will be divisions going on all over the place. But labels have a way of being a part of our life, don't they? How many of you have labels? You have a label, don't you? You are an attorney. There's a label. You are a widow and retired. That's two labels. How many of you have labels? We all have labels. We have labels that we operate on, and that's the way it goes. And the church has always had labels, too. Regardless of the name on the door, there's always been labels satisfying people. That's the way it is. Labels. Some are helpful, some aren't. The most helpful label I can say is that you are a dedicated Christian. And how many of you qualify for that label? How many of you are an operational Christian? Oh, I like that one. How many of you are a working Christian? How many of you labor on as a Christian? How many of you are struggling Christians? Yeah! Labels. Labels. And the labels were there when Jesus really returned and gave a challenge to his disciples about what they were going to be doing. Labels. Look at our morning lesson from Matthew. That's the end of Matthew as we know it. But it's a scripture that all of you are acquainted with. This 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20, which concludes Matthew. It concludes Matthew. But it's also one of the most important lessons that we have probably in all of the Gospels, because it's called the Great Commission. And we talk about it incessantly. As a church, are we fulfilling the Great Commission? And the General Assembly is going to be dealing with that today in their worship service. They probably already are, and there are people sitting there saying, "I don't know, are we?" Follow me in the text. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Good word. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. This is Holy Trinity Sunday. That's the name. Holy Trinity Sunday. And it really marks the end, really, of the Easter season, the season of resurrection, and the beginning of what we call in the church ordinary time. It begins next week. This is supposed to be white. I said that's too much work to change it over and over. Let's leave it green. It's going to stay that way till November. Ordinary time. But Trinity Sunday is a reminder that the ordinary time is what you ought to be doing in terms of your faith. Ah, the gospel lesson gives us the labels of our faith. The labels that no one really pays much attention to until we close the worship service. Usually on a Sunday. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here we see God's work spelled out for all of us, namely, doing and loving and teaching and saving. This is the Holy Trinity. The expectation that the church is going to fulfill this, because that's what Jesus said it was all about. This is Holy Trinity work, and the work that we were expected to do. I said one of the key words in that lesson that I read to you, though, was wonderful, because it's some doubted. It doesn't say they all agreed. Some doubted. They doubted what Jesus was saying. They doubted that Jesus was there. They doubted something. The assumption is that all of them were in total agreement. That wasn't it. The human ingredient is there. The human ingredient of doubt, the human ingredient of fear, the human ingredient of saying we've got something better to do than what you're asking us to do. The human ingredient. My gosh, I can do whatever I want. I have free will. You bet your life. And I think what's so nice in this nice short piece, we don't explore the doubt. Too often we look at the Trinity as static nouns. It's nice to say. You know what's interesting? I always, at the end of a worship service, you know, when we gather here, I'll say, "Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And all of you, some people do this. And some, okay, it's over. The interesting aspect, Gary and Gail Lyon were Easter visitors. And they looked around when they came down in the wintertime to churches. And they visited churches all around our town. I told her I was going to tell this. And they picked McLeod. They picked McLeod because you were friendly, you were loving, and you made them feel like they were home. And Gary said the most interesting thing, "And you said the Trinity." Now, Gary didn't say much. Never did. Wouldn't come to Bible study because he couldn't hear real well. But he had a faith attitude, and he said, "Because you said that, you were the only church in Bartow that said it." I said, for heaven's sake, I'm not going to argue that. But that's what he said. And he said, that's what it's all about. Now, I'm saying that this morning because the important ingredient is the Holy Trinity is why we're here. The Holy Trinity is why you are what you are. The Holy Trinity is not one of mass confusion that many people make it because they get too busy worrying about the separate sections of God and trying to divide it up. It's all one big flow. And Jesus said, this is the way it is. Go and do this stuff in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember, he told them, the Spirit's coming, greater than me. That's what you're going to depend on operating with. God is a God of action. God created. The call to worship is a reminder that God created the heavens and the earth. Billions and billions of years, but who gives a hoot? God created it. God's still in the business of creating. God's Holy Spirit has been creating since the beginning of time. And now I really believe comes the time for Christian communities like ours and like ours that are operating in buildings like us all over the place to really get reacquainted with this idea of the Spirit bringing Christ into a world that becomes very, very terrifying for most of us. Through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, God keeps on giving. And that giving consists of faith, understanding, and sharing on the part of each one of us. The good news of Jesus Christ spread from those 11 disciples. Some of them doubters. Some of them doubters. But the word spread around the world. And you know we're still called to be a part of this spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. There's no age discrimination, by the way, on your being able to witness for Jesus Christ. There is no age discrimination. We're called to go and make disciples. We're called to go and baptize and teach. Are we? This Holy Trinity Sunday provides a good day to think about what we're doing to bring God's love, forgiveness, understanding, and hope and faith to other people, and what we're doing to nurture it in our own lives. Doesn't it? Our words, our actions, our motion bears witness to what Christ intended those disciples to do. And we do it when we share in worship. You're doing it. You're doing it when you go out. You're doing it when you go over for coffee and conversation. You're doing it when you go into Publix. You're doing it when you go into the bank. You're doing it when you walk the street. You're doing it when you talk to your neighbor. You're doing it when you talk to somebody you don't know. You're doing what Jesus intended us to be about. Oh, Oh, you can take the time to pray. I remember someone saying to me, oh, but I find it hard to pray for people I don't like. You've already prayed for them by saying you prayed for people you don't like. When you say, I'll pray for you, you don't have to get down on your knees. You've already prayed because you've thought a good thought about the person. That's prayer. Boom. Just like that. And God hears it. Even before you've said a word. Invite people to share in worship. Not complicated. They like to get up and come at 10:30 in the morning. Not bad. In doing this, we become helpful labels for Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's painless. It really is painless. For the Father, for the Son, and for the Holy Spirit. Got it? Do it. God, our Father, we're grateful that you touch our lives. We're grateful that you still wait for us to respond to you, and we're grateful that you still invite us in the Spirit of Christ to share that Spirit with one another. Amen.